I think that's really the end result of what God is working us toward in every area of life is, do you trust me?
Yeah.
Do you really believe that I love you enough that I will do the best thing for you?
Yeah.
And I love you.
Yeah.
I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Hi, friends. Thanks for being with us on Enjoying Everyday Life. Today, we conclude our Ask Us Anything discussion from a Talk It Out podcast. You guys had great questions, and it gave us the opportunity to talk about so many great things. Joyce gives some wonderful insights into many issues that were weighing on the minds of some of you, including fear and how to continue to find your purpose no matter your age or season of life. And of course, Aaron and I also share our perspectives as well. It's great fun and it's insightful. So I hope that you find this discussion helpful and encouraging.
All right, here's an interesting question. How do you balance having hope and faith that God can intervene versus just being delusional that and that's how they said it, but it's a really good question. Like, how do you balance?
Can I ask a question with the question? Is how does that, what that question says, how does that work when it's in terms of healing? Because you want to have faith and hope that God is going to heal your loved one or whatever the circumstance is. Mm-hmm. But to not be, what was the word she used?
Delusional.
Delusional. I just think that's a trap we can sometimes get ourselves into. What does that look like?
Well, I think that you always believe. Jesus said, who will I find in faith when I come back? And I believe that everybody is healed, but I think some people get it when they cross over to the other side. Yeah. And I just reread something again the other day that just keeps coming back to me. God always answers prayer, but sometimes he says no. And he knows what he's doing. We can trust him. And just because we want somebody to stay here doesn't necessarily mean that is not their time to go.
Which then means your faith and your hope is not delusional.
Right.
No.
It's just not the...
But I would always believe. I would believe until the last second.
Yeah.
Because that's what God tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And...
that's good.
So the question is, what is your faith in?
Yes, right.
Is your faith in getting what I want?
Yeah. Or is it in God?
Or
that's
is it...
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really good. You
very
should
good.
Write that down.
Best, best answer of the day.
Yeah. Should we stop?
That won't last long. We have so many good ones. Okay, this is big for everybody. How do you handle fear? The fear of everything going wrong, anywhere, at any time, the world seems out of control. So how do I handle fear?
I just don't think about it. But that's not very
helpful. So denial is one way to go.
Yeah, denial works. It's just not...
Just pretend it's not happening. No, I think like the fear of what's happening in the world... To me, I think I can't control it anyways, so I'm not going to give myself the time to worry about it.
Yeah, but I know I agree with that. Is that the kind of fear you were talking about? Fear
well, of what's she happening she in the mentions world? That, but also the fear of everything going wrong. So I think with something like this, anywhere, anytime, I think a lot of it is being out of control, right?
Yeah,
okay. I can't control what might happen to one of my children. I can't control what's happening in the world.
You have to not take a false sense of responsibility now. You know, some fears you have to confront. You do it afraid. But the kind of fear she seems to be asking about, I think, is the kind where you have to realize, like you said, you're not in control. You can't, you know, you trust God that he'll make it work out.
Mm-hmm. What I found, too, is when you trust God and your worst fear still seems to come true is very difficult. And working through that, learning that even in that, you can still trust God because there's so much more past what we just experienced in this moment. And living through fear, I think, teaches you more than anything else of how to deal with fear, because you can't live in fear, but God can help you through fear.
Yeah. So many things you fear don't happen.
Yeah, right.
They say that fear, F-E-A-R, means false evidence appearing real. The devil always shows you the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And sometimes it happens, but most of the time it doesn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you forgive someone that has passed away? Oh. Or do you even have to?
Well, I think sometimes for you, Mm-hmm. You need to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard mm-hmm. people say they went to the person's gravesite, told them they forgave them.
Sure.
I think verbalizing it is good. You know, Father, I forgive you. Or,
yeah. It is more for you, right?
Yeah, it
absolutely.
It's more for you. It's forgiveness actually is always for you.
Mm-hmm. And it's not based on because they're no longer here. They're not going right. to ask for forgiveness.
No. And yeah. forgiveness is always for you because it doesn't, you forgiving the other person doesn't really help them.
Mm-mm.
It helps you. They still have to deal with God about what they did. And, but you don't need to keep drinking the poison.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if they were still here, you still may not get what you want from them.
Right.
Exactly.
Regardless of where they are, yeah, it really is about what you need to do to let go.
Yeah.
That's hard, though.
It is.
That's
a hard
really
one.
Hard. Yeah.
But it sets you free.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It does.
Absolutely.
Forgiveness is so important.
Mm.
I think it's one of the most important things in the world today that needs to take place. There's so many people that are angry, and we need to forgive and realize that we can trust God.
Yeah.
I love this question. This says, Joyce,
where... I love it already, too.
Where are the strong character, single, godly men?
Ooh, good
question
one.
Mark, exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point.
Where are they, Joyce?
Where are they?
Where are they, Joyce? Well, I've got one at home that I've had for 50
But he's not single.
But he, no, that's right, he's not single. Where are they? Well...
I understand people asking the question.
It's
I'm sure
great
it's a
question.
Hard, yeah, it's a hard
I think it has to be a divine intervention. Uh-huh. I think God has to bring him on. They're not in the bar, I don't think. I would hope the church would be the best place to find one, but...
There's some losers there, too.
But there's losers there, too. But I think that you need to put yourself in a position where you might meet someone like... Get in a singles group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just go sit in church and think because you're sitting there, Mr. Wonderful is going to walk up and say, will you
sure.
marry me? But I understand the question. It's hard to wait, but
yeah.
they're out there. You just got to trust God for I call it a divine connection. You know, one thing I will tell you not to do because I did it, don't get desperate and marry somebody.
Mm.
Just because you're afraid you'll never have anybody.
Yeah.
Because I did that when I was 18, and of course it didn't work, and he cheated on me, and it was just a nightmare.
Yeah. That's good encouragement, though.
Can I ask another one? This is not
Absolutely,
on your list, but
you
I
can.
Think, I bet women would love to know this. What is a female's responsibility to start dating? Because I think there's a lot of conversation in culture today about whether it's the woman's job to wait to be pursued by a man, or is it okay for a woman to... make the first move and talk to a guy?
Well, I come from the culture where you waited for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
would you change your view now or would you stand by that?
I don't know.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't know either. I do. I take that back. I know. I know what I think. I think a lot of that goes to confidence because mm-hmm. I remember when I was dating, it was so much easier to think, let them just come to me. That's got to be the right answer because then I don't have to put myself out there and feel like I might be rejected. And so I think from my vantage point, it's if we can be confident enough of who we are in Christ and that we as women have a lot to offer and whoever this man is, it's his loss if he doesn't want to talk to me. But it's about the confidence of who you are in Jesus. And I just want girls to know that like you be who you are. Be confident in who Jesus made you to be.
Yeah, and realize your value.
Yes.
Right.
Like, don't accept being treated less than mm-hmm. God wants you to be treated.
Right. Yeah.
And there are good men out there.
There are.
Yeah. It might take a while, and I don't know where to find them. I wish I had an answer for everyone. But don't sell yourself short like
yeah.
Joyce
that's
said.
Right.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
good.
How can I be more confident in my prayer? So is there anything about praying that you would encourage somebody with?
Well, I think the answer to that for me is to remember other prayers that God has answered for
mm-hmm.
me.
Oh, that's great.
I think that,
yeah.
I don't think we remember enough. I think we forget what we should remember and we remember what we should forget. You know, there's so many. David when he was depressed, he remembered a time when he had led the band into Israel and they were bringing the ark in. And when he was facing Goliath, he remembered the lion and the bear that he had already killed, and that gave him confidence. So I think remembering times when God has done other things for you.
This is an unusual question. I'm just going to throw it out because it's, we may or may not have an answer. I don't know. This might sound strange, but should we be praying for Satan to be saved one day? Because we...
That's a great question.
We pray, you know, we pray for people to come to know the Lord.
Right.
That's Satan's not exactly people.
No.
What do
we
you think?
We should not pray for Satan to be saved. It's already a lost cause. It's already been stated. The book's been written. Been closed.
Mm-hmm.
He's done.
We know how the story ends.
We know how the story ends. So, no.
Well, that's kind of nice that it's one thing off our prayer list.
Yeah.
It's so true. Check.
Okay. Joyce, this is a great one for you. My mom has just turned 73, and she's a spunky one, not ready to shut down.
Why is it good for me? I'm only 30.
That's exactly why. This is for your future. How do I encourage her in fulfilling her purpose at this time? She often wonders if her purpose is finished, but I'm encouraged to see all that Joyce is still doing and going strong.
Well, I heard Dick Van Dyke say something, and he's in his 90s, and I thought it was really, really good. He said, when you get older, in order to be happy, you need two things. You need someone to love, and you need a purpose. Hmm. And so I would say to her, even I think a great purpose is always doing something for someone else.
Yeah.
So even if she volunteered at, like, I just heard a story recently about a guy's mom who was just depressed all the time and miserable, and it makes you cranky when you're depressed and hard to get along with. And she started volunteering at a place that helps veterans, and they get clothing donations and food donations, and she's just involved there now in separating those and helps manage the sales they have, and she just is absolutely loving it. Mm-hmm. So you need to be with people and doing something that you feel like you're contributing.
Yeah, that's great. And there is always purpose, isn't there?
Right. Everybody. There's always somebody that needs your help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of conversations about this when my grandma was 94, just about 95. She passed a couple of months ago. But she couldn't do anything. I mean, she had declined so much. And so I remember talking to my mom, like, what do you think God's purpose for her is still here? I mean, he's left her here for something. So, but that woman, up until right before she passed away, she couldn't go anywhere, but she spent all day in her room, and she had all these prayer journals, just all pages after pages of who she's praying for. She would write down how she heard God answer her.
Yeah, what a wonderful legacy.
Yeah, and so I thought, she can't go anywhere. So there's not a lot of people she's communicating with, but man, I know I was prayed for every day until she passed.
Good.
That what better purpose?
Yeah, that's very good. You can always find a purpose if you want to.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next question, how can I turn to God through PTSD or a panic attack instead of like my eating disorder or other places where we tend to turn in times of panic?
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be our knee-jerk safety, but they don't work.
So I want to make sure I'm understanding the question.
Yeah.
If somebody's having a panic attack,
or they're dealing with trauma.
They would normally run to food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, one story I remember, and this is not to tout my book, but the book that I wrote, Battlefield of the Mind, one girl told me that she was bulimic. And she said, I started, when I wanted to make myself throw up, I would bow down in front of the toilet and read your book.
Mm-hmm.
And... because she had to get a new mindset. She had to believe that she could overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she realized that Satan was putting those thoughts in her head that she had to go make herself throw up.
Mm.
And she was set completely free.
Wow.
So whether it's a Bible or something else you want to use, I'm not saying it has to be my book, but I think you have
something
to turn.
Something full of God's word, though.
I think you have to turn to the word.
Mm. Yeah.
Turn to God.
You've talked a lot about how replacing a bad habit with a positive habit is a great way to change the results of what you're getting
in
your
maybe,
life.
Yeah, maybe somebody's having something like that. Maybe it's just, I know one person who, when they get angry, they found if they'll just get away from the situation and go for a walk, they can get back some balance and some common sense.
Yeah. Good. Make a change. Okay. I'm going to ask one more question.
Okay.
This is the last one. When you've prayed and fasted and asked other Christians you trust to pray and you've not seen an answer for months and nothing has changed, what is there left to do besides trusting God and doing good? Now, the thing about this is they've obviously heard what the word says. They've heard Joyce maybe talking about trust God and do good and how important it is.
The thing that comes to me is there's nothing left to do unless, and maybe I'm wrong, but maybe God has told this person to step out in something and they're not being obedient. Because I have found for me that a lot of times when I pray, God doesn't just clear the situation up for me. He shows me something that I need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I was having really bad stomach problems one time, and he showed me it was the mints I was eating. They had something in them that, they were sugar-free, so they had something in them that was bothering my stomach. And, you know, little things like that are, so I don't know.
So ask God the questions.
Yeah,
show me.
Is there something that you want me to do? And if not, then you see, there is no end to prayer. Jesus said, there's no end to trust. There's no end to prayer. Jesus said, who will I find in faith when I return? Yeah. We're not to faint in prayer. We're to continue to pray. And so you never, I prayed for my dad on and off for 30 years before he finally gave his life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So when do you say, God's not going to answer my prayer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think also you might consider at that point, am I asking for something that is out of God's will?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I also think, and I can relate to what they're saying, what else can I do?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Besides
that's our
trust
biggest
God
problem. What can
good.
I do? What can I do?
Exactly.
What can I do?
And sometimes there
is
isn't
nothing.
Beside,
no.
But trusting God and doing good in the meantime, helping others, doing what you know God is asking you to do may take a long time, but it doesn't mean that God's not working in the situation.
One writer that I absolutely love and have gotten a lot of calls it acceptance with joy.
Mm-hmm. That's hard.
Yeah. You said that like it was great, but think about what you just said to us.
Yeah. But I mean it's like, this is the way it is right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to accept it, and I'm going to be joyful. Mm. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness.
Yeah.
And it tells us that godliness with contentment is of great gain.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul said he was content, whether he was abased or abounding, so we could translate that into saying, I'm content whether I'm getting what I want or whether I'm not.
Yeah.
That's great.
Which, boy, that's a God thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To really be content, whether things are going really well or fairly badly, that is definitely God's intervening with our attitudes and our emotions and not really planting ourselves on how we're feeling every day.
Yeah.
If it's okay, I'd like to end the show with one comment. Now, I'm 81, and I've been serving God for 48 years. And so, obviously, I've learned a lot during that period of time, tried everything imaginable to get what I wanted. I've failed. I understand every one of these questions. Mm-hmm. I relate to them. Don't think any of them are foolish. Ask them. We're glad to answer. But The bottom line of it all comes down to trusting God. Mm-hmm. If you trust God, I'm rereading a book on disappointment with God that I read years ago. And reading it now, I think, you know, I'm never disappointed in you, because if I didn't get it, then I wasn't supposed to get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, or it's not time. You know, so trust, you know, it's, I think that's really the end result of what God is working mm-hmm. us toward in every area of life is, do you trust me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you really believe that I love you enough that I will do the best thing for you?
Yeah.
And I love you.
Yeah. Mm. Well, what a great way to end not only this program, but you realize it's been like 5 years that we've been doing
really?
Talk It Out now.
Do you know I know that because I brought a present for you both today
Aww.
To celebrate our 5-year anniversary?
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank
that
you.
That was so open nice.
Them. You have to open them right now. I look forward to your reactions when you open
look
it.
Look at the cute
I just said
bags.
My love language is gift.
Yeah, wait till you open it, though.
Wait till you open it, though.
Because wood is the 5-year anniversary.
Happy 5-year anniversary, piece of wood.
I need a piece of wood.
Love, oh, Aaron.
That is so wonderful,
thank
Aaron.
I know. You. I thought that would speak to your heart right
thank
there.
Thank you. I really wanted a block of wood.
I know. It's nicely shaved.
I was
it's
believing smooth. For a block of wood.
I know. Well, now you got
I
it.
I will
you
cherish know. It. I will use it as a doorstop.
Yep.
The variety
I thought
you
I might use
that.
It yeah. to prop something up on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know yeah. what I could do with that?
What?
I could set my coffee on that every morning so it doesn't make a stain.
That's
on
such
my
a good idea.
Table.
That's perfect.
That's a very good
You're
idea.
You're welcome.
My coffee that's made out of my Nespresso
yes.
pot.
With two teaspoons.
With two teaspoons.
Of heavy cream.
Heavy cream.
I think it sounds great.
Thank
well,
you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Oh, you're welcome. That was just silly.